Hey, happy Friday. Come on, we'll get a little clap for Friday. Two more, and you'll be on spring break. All right, hey, but before that, we do have some things to do. And one of them is to be here in chapel today. And we have, throughout this year, been asking different faculty and staff at Hope College to share their story within God's story. Today, we have from the kinesiology department and the coaching staff of the softball team, Carla Walters, who's been teaching a total of 37 years. 23 of those have been at Hope College, and she is moving into that wonderful time that as this year comes to a close, she will be retiring. And she, though, before she goes, has to speak in chapel, which she's going to do today. Carla is one person, when I think of people that I want to be like when I grow up, it's Carla. Welcome, Carla Walters.
You're great. Good morning. I think one of the greatest blessings of growing older is to be able to see how God's story fits into your own story or your story into God's story. And I want to share with you this morning three of the times that God has really blessed me through his word and then how he has applied it in my life. Three times in my preteen years, this happened. Has it ever happened to you where you're reading along in your Bible and all of a sudden it seems like a verse just jumps right out at you? Maybe it's because it applies to you right where you are right now. Maybe it's because it's a verse that gives you hope. Or perhaps you have no clue why God gave you this verse at this time. And I think when the latter happens, it's because somewhere down your road, your journey, you will know that this verse has been picked out especially for you. The first verse that I ever had jump out at me were the last few verses in Paul's first book of the Thessalonians. They are action verses. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I really didn't understand it totally at that time. In fact, it took till my senior year here at Hope till I really understood those verses. It was December 1st, 1972, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a Friday. The Friday before the last week of classes, I had a major paper due in my major, which was physical education, and the class was being taught by the chairman of the department. Unlike you, I had procrastinated until that last weekend. I was going to go, write it all Friday night, type it up on Saturday, and hand it in on Monday. I was getting all bundled up because there was a raging lake effect snowstorm. Not only in Holland, but all the way down the coast. So I was going to stay there until it was done. Just as I was leaving the room, my dorm room, the phone rang. Do I answer it? Do I not? I thought I'd better. I said hello, and the voice said, "Hi, honey." It was my dad. And I had never heard his voice like this before. I knew something was wrong. He said, "Your brother Tom has just died in an accident. Can you find your brother Ken and hurry home as fast as you can?" I said, "Okay, Dad, I will." When I hung up, I knew my first responsibility was to call my professor and confess that the paper would not be due for me on Monday. I just was not going to be able to get it in. His wife answered and said he was gone for a few minutes, but he'd be back and he would give me a call. He did. He called me back within just a few minutes. And the first thing he said was, "Hi, Carla, I'm so sorry. But don't worry about the paper. You'll get that done. But I want to come and help you find your brother Ken and get you home." It took 45 minutes for us to find my brother. Those were the days before cell phones. So we had no clue. We knew he was on campus, but we didn't know where he was. We found him in the racquetball court. We packed quickly. And my professor said, "You are not driving home in this lake effect snowstorm. I'm going to drive you to Grand Rapids to the airport. You're going to catch the last flight to Chicago." We did, and we arrived in Chicago to be met by friends of my parents who drove us home. As we turned onto our street, the street was lined with cars, and we could see that there was a long line of people going down our sidewalk and going into our house. So we went in the back door, and as I looked down the hallway to the front, I could see something very, very special. For all the people who had come to our house to comfort my parents, they were being comforted themselves by my parents who were celebrating my brother, celebrating his life, his very special life. And I had never seen that before. Even in their grief, they were being the comforters. Later that night, my professor called. He wondered if we made it home all right, and I assured him that we did. And then he said something that I had never heard outside of our family before. It's a common phrase today, but back then it was most unusual for somebody to say, "You take care, and I'm going to pray for you." It was at that very moment that my broken heart started to heal. It would take a long while to heal completely, but to know that my professor was praying for me was so very special. And it made me want to someday come back and teach and coach here at Hope. It also showed me that even in our grief, we can rejoice evermore. That people will pray constantly for you. And that you can go on. You can move on. Fast forward 1 year ahead. I had just finished my first year of teaching, or getting to that point, and I was also the Hope College tennis coach. A verse came back to me that my mother said every day that she sent us out to school. She said, "Be brave, be courageous, and know that the Lord is with you always." He was with the tennis team and I when we went to the MIAA tournament in Albion. Archery team had also had a tournament, and they were long gone. They had taken the coach's van, and the four archers were already there. We had the last available Hope College vehicle to take. It was a station wagon, before the days of SUVs and CRVs. We had station wagons. And the eight players and me and our overnight bags and our tennis rackets were all packed together in that station wagon. We got to Albion. But it was cozy. We stopped to check on the archery team. The archer coach said, "How was your trip?" I said, "Well, it was fine, but we were cozy." She insisted that we trade vehicles for the way home. And so we did. We got into the van, and it was almost dark by the time we got to 131. We went up 131, and as we passed through Otsego, I looked in my rearview mirror and noticed that everyone was sleeping except me. We went on up through Allegan, and on the north side of Allegan was a blinking yellow light. It's still there today. Just past the yellow light is about a mile of straightaway, and then you go down and around a curve and keep on going up towards Hamilton. So I was driving along. We're almost to the curve, and the lights go out. You can't imagine how many thoughts go through your mind at that time. I'm in a strange vehicle. I got to try to push this on and off button with the lights. It doesn't work. I have eight people in my car. We're coming up by the curb. I don't have any lights. Should I hit the brake? I'll be in the road. Somebody will come hit me from the rear. All of these thoughts going through my mind. And then I whispered, because I didn't want to wake anybody up, "Oh, Lord, help us." And then the strangest God thing that ever happened in my life, my left foot moved slowly forward and then pressed hard against the floorboard. And the lights came on. I didn't know what happened. My heart was beating so hard. We drove up to Hamilton. We stopped at a gas station. Again, I tried the regular headlights. The regular headlights still didn't work, but the brights were on. Because back in those days, in many of the vans, there was a little button on the floor that were the brights, and you just had to tap it with your foot. But I didn't know that. God did that. I called upon his name, and he was there. When the lights did go on, I noticed that the right front tire was on the white line on the edge, and we were just inches from the gravel. We were on the curve, and I would have gone right off the road, and who knows what would have happened. But lo, God was with us always. One other verse that has meant so much to me, and that is a verse from Jeremiah. Perhaps you know it. I learned it when I was 11 years old. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, plans to give you a future and a hope." And when I decided on Hope College, I thought that's probably why the Lord had that verse right in my heart for 6 years. But it wasn't until almost 30 years later that I found the true reason why he had given this verse to me and planted it in my heart. It was a Thursday night in November. I got a phone call. It was the dean of students. "Carla, one of your players is in the hospital, in the emergency room. Can you go right away?" I said, yes. I got in the car, and as I was driving to Holland Hospital, I thought, this is not softball season. Can't be softball related. Could she have been in an accident? I don't know. I get to the ER. I tell the nurse who I am, and I was looking for my player. She says, right over there. As I looked, I thought, what's wrong? She's sitting up in bed. Doesn't look too bad. I don't see any casts. I don't see any IVs or anything. I walked over to her bed. Tears were streaming down her face. I said, "Donna, what's wrong?" She said, "Coach," and she looked me right in the eye, tears streaming down her face, "I tried to commit suicide tonight." Whoa, Lord, what do I say to that? We were both quiet for a minute or so. And I said, "Donna, I'm so sorry that you feel this way. But you know, God loves you." She shook her head violently. "No, he doesn't. He couldn't. Not after what I did tonight." I said, "But he does. He loves you." She and I both cried for a while, and we gave each other a hug. And she goes, "I don't know what I'm going to do." I said, "Oh, Lord, tell me what to say to her." And he said to me, "Give her that verse. Donna, God has a plan for you. It's a plan for good and not for evil. It's a plan to give you a future and a hope." "Really?" she said. I said, "Yes. You have a future and a hope. You have a reason to live." Donna finished the semester. We talked almost every day. And then she transferred to another school that had her real major, the one she really wanted to get into. So we lost track of each other for a couple years. And then one day in the mail came a beautiful envelope that had her wedding invitation in it. She had invited me to her wedding. I went as she and her hubby were coming back down the aisle after they were married. Again, tears were streaming down her face, tears of joy. She was getting her life back together again. I didn't hear from her again for about 2.5 years. It was Christmas time. There was a business size envelope. Only Christmas newsletters can be in those kind of envelopes. I read through the front page of the newsletter. So many wonderful things were happening to Donna and her husband, Jonathan. And then I turned the page over. And here was a picture of Donna and her newborn babe pressed up against her cheek. I stared at that picture for a very, very long time. And I thought about Donna's circle of life. She had been born. She lived. She thought she had a reason to die. But God said, "I have a plan for you, Donna." So she continued to live. She got married. She had a baby. She continued life again. As you leave today, I want you to reflect on your circle of life. Where are you right now? Are you in a wonderful place? Rejoice evermore. Are you in a tough place? Pray without ceasing. Are you in a dark, dark spot in your circle of life? Know that God has a plan for you, and it's a plan for good and not for evil. It's to give you a future and a hope. Carry it in that in your heart. Know that he loves you, and he will always give you exactly what you need. And then when you're my age, reflect back on your own life and see how he's given you the courage to go on, the Bible verses to give you support, whatever happens to you. And maybe you can help someone else continue on with their life. Go in peace. Rejoice.